The Bible says, unto you shall the garden of your people be. Lord, we say thank you. We are grateful unto you for bringing us together again, even unto you. Lord, we appreciate you. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being merciful unto us. Thank you for being gracious unto us. Thank you because the Bible says the grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Thank you for making us to be partaker of that grace. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says it's not of him that will, not of him that run, but God has showed mercy. Lord, we thank you because we are recipient of your mercy every day. Lord, we give you all the glory. Thank you for the gift of life. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together to come and hear your word again this morning. The Bible says you sent forth your word, and it heals us and it delivers us from all our destruction. Thank you, mighty Father. Even as we have come together to hear your word this morning, please, Lord, let your word bring healing. Let it bring deliverances unto every one of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, even as we hear your word, Lord, let the captive be set free in the name of Jesus. Let the brokenhearted be healed in Jesus' name. Let the unsaved be saved in Jesus' name. And let the backslider be restored in the name of Jesus. Let the prisoner be set free in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us have, O God, a definite encounter with you, Lord, even this hour in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty Father. Lord, we appreciate you. Lord, I pray that you will possess our heart. And Lord, you will get our full attention, undivided attention this hour in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Every distraction within our that, Lord, I cancel by your blood in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Lord, we appreciate you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Again, we are all welcome to Sunday service again. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless me, even as we listen to his words in Jesus' name. The title of the message this morning is The People Who Know Their God. The People Who Know Their God. The People Who Know Their God. And this is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. I will read from New King James Version. Say, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Living Bible put it this way. He said, he will flatter those who hate the things of God and win them over to his side. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do great things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray that the enemy will not win us unto his side in Jesus' name. What this verse of the scripture is telling us clearly is this. People who do not know their God, the enemy will flatter them, and then he will win them onto their side, onto his side. He will deceive them. But for the people who know their God, the Bible says they will be strong and they will do exploit. So in other words, it is very, very important that we know the God that we serve. Not just being a churchgoer, not just being, calling yourself, I'm a Christian. In the course of the week, we've seen a lot of things that happen. Why somebody was, possessed of the devil and he ran over innocent people who are walking down, the street. And there are so many other discussions that came up from that. But I was telling my own family, I said, either you say you're a Muslim or you just, tag yourself a Christian. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You are still the same thing before the Almighty God. You are the same. So, but we are talking about people who know God, people who know their God. Sadly, there are people in the church these days who do not know the God they claim they are serving. They do not know the God they claim they are serving. They may come to church, you know, occasionally read their Bible. Maybe sometimes they may give their offering and they may still be struggling with their tithe and all that, but they don't know that God. Let's quickly turn our Bible to the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Paul the apostle was talking about those people here. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Say, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God is still in the business of introducing and reintroducing himself to individuals, families, and nations. We remember he reintroduced himself to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Again, in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. Judges, chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. God also introduced himself to Gideon. And the Bible says in Judges, chapter 6, from verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Peradventure, this may be somebody's story. And you are saying, if the Lord is with you, why is all of this thing happening to you? But we are looking at the people who know their God. And God is in the business of introducing himself and reintroducing himself even to his people. Why? Because God wants that, you know, interpersonal relationship. He wants us to know him, to have a relationship with him, not just being a stranger or a visitor even to him. And that was the reason why God was reintroducing himself to Abraham. Abraham was not a stranger to God. But he began to live his life in such a way that he has become a stranger to God. And God appeared unto him. He said, Abraham, you know, remember, he said, walk before me and be perfect. You know, my covenant, everything is still intact. So I want you to get right. And this is the outcry of God, even to you and to me. So he wants us to know him, you know, to have that personal relationship with him. So the people who know their God. God's faithfulness, the Bible tells us, he reaches to the cloud. According to Psalm 36, verse 5, the faithfulness of God, he reaches to the cloud. What does that mean? It means that it is readily available. Anywhere you turn to, the faithfulness of God is there. It's readily available. And again, it's reaching out to you today, and it's reaching out to me. And his question is that, do you truly know him? Do you truly know him? So we are looking at the people who know their God. And just to, you know, to confirm the seriousness of God to have relationship with us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, God said, come now and let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. And if we go to Matthew chapter 11, from verse 28 to 31, he said, all you that are labor and heavy laden, he said, come, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. He said, you will find rest. Say, my yoke is easy and my body is light. So what does all of this thing mean? It means that God wants us to know him. And that is why God is always calling us. Say, come, come, come. So God is ever faithful. So the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. And that is why Daniel said, the people who know their God. Because God is always going to make himself available to us. Anyhow, in different way, in diverse way, reaching out unto us. Just as we are talking in Sunday school today, many people, you will talk to them, they will say, well, I do not have that grace. That is not true. For the fact that you are even hearing it, that means the grace of God is appearing unto you. So it's appearing unto you, it's appearing unto me. So every day, the grace of God is always appearing unto somebody. But how do you handle it? And the same God is talking to you this hour and is asking you, do you truly know him? The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it said, the solid foundation of God, stand sure, having this zeal, let everyone that nameth the name of God depart from iniquity. God knows those who are his. God knows those who are his. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Those that come to him, they must believe that he is. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God, definitely, he knows those people belong to him. And at the same time, he wants as many as possible to have a good knowledge of him. He will do his own part. We have to do our own part. Because of our time, I'm just going to tell us one thing. Knowing God essentially requires spending quality time in his presence. So, and that is basically what we're going to be talking about under the people who know their God. So essentially requires spending quality time in his presence. Why? Many marriages and families are having problems these days because they spend less time together with God. There are some people, they don't even spend time together at all. Not to talk of talking, spending time together with God. Everybody goes their own way. And they are all stranger to each other or to one another. And that is why we see so many marital problems in our time. People, husband and wife, they have become strangers to each other. They do not know themselves. There is a special program that we heard many years back in my church in Nigeria. And what did they entail? They call some couples, husband and wives, and then but for some of them. And what they did was that they will, at any point in time, take the wife away and bring the husband and ask some questions. It was openly done to everybody. Everybody was listening. And then they would take the husband away and ask the same question from the wife. And we actually discovered it was so obvious to us that some of those husband and wife, they were just living together. They do not know each other at all. Some of them, it was so embarrassing. Some of the questions that they were asking them, they should be able to say without even thinking. And yet, may not, some of them, they drive together in the same car, they come to church. And they have become stranger even to each other. And there are some that you will know that this one, they know themselves. They answer the question perfectly and nothing different from what the husband and the wife was saying. That was a test by human being. I mean, the program was organized just to, you know, see the importance of marriage. But when I thought of this, I realized that the same way many of us, we are doing with God. We are not giving God attention. We are not spending enough time with him. Just like husband and wife, you don't spend enough time together, you will never know each other. You can live together for 100 years. If Christ tarries, you will never know each other. Knowing each other requires spending quality time, opening communication, asking questions. And that time, you must be patient. Praise the Lord. It is so sad. Some people, they spend most of their time on phone gossiping. Gossiping. Some, they spend their time on social media. They want to know everything that is happening around the globe. They do not even know their God. They don't know anything from the word of God. When you talk of one so-called celebrity, they will be the first person to talk about that person. And they will describe everything perfectly about that celebrity. And the celebrity does not even know you, either you exist. So unfortunate. And you spend all your valuable time thinking about them, monitoring them, not necessarily because you want to preach the word of God to them. If you're on social media, you are following people. If that's what you are doing, sending message of the gospel, brilliant. God is happy with you. But if all you do, you're just wasting your precious time trying to know people who don't know, even know either you exist, who can never add any value to your life, then it's rather unfortunate. Daniel said, people who know their God. You want to know their God, your God, you will never be part of that. If you want to know your God, you must spend quality time. Many nations are in crisis today because they are forsaking their God. Psalm 9 verse 17 tells us that. Because they are forsaking their God, they do not know their God. Just a few weeks ago, you know, it's so sad. We are hearing, they are celebrating, they call it Pride Week. And the Bible says pride goes before destruction. And some people are now celebrating pride. That tells us that they are just heading towards destruction. But it is my prayer that Lord will show mercy upon our land and deliver our land even from this, you know, pending destruction in Jesus' name. And I'm here to tell you, particularly the young ones among us, please and please, for God's sake, don't be part of them. There is a serious consequence for this. If the Bible says pride goes before destruction, how can human being now be celebrating pride? Is that not an abomination? The Lord will help us. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at the example of people who invested in their relationship with God in the Bible. Examples of people who invested in their relationship with God. We are saying that knowing God essentially requires spending quality time in his presence. Luke chapter 2, from verse 42 to 46. And this is Jesus, our perfect example. We saw a lot of things that Jesus Christ did. But how did he come about this? The answer is not far from what we are about to read. Luke chapter 2, from verse 42 to 46. The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, take note of that. Jesus at that time was not 33 years. He was 12 years old. 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered in Jerusalem. You know, God, Bible make emphasis. He said, the boy Jesus. Jesus was a small boy at that time. The Bible says he lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Verse 46, now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There were a lot of people who began to listen to Jesus later, and they saw mighty works that Jesus Christ was doing, and they were seeing the kind of wisdom that he was displaying. And they said, where did he get this wisdom? But they didn't search the scripture very well. They didn't know about this. So Jesus, the Bible says, for after 3 days, the parents, they found him. After 3 days, Jesus was not there for 3 minutes. Jesus was not there for 3 hours. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. What was he doing there? Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Is that the way it is with you, with me? how much time do we spend, you know, with God? We are talking about people who know their God. You want to know your God, you must give God quality time. You must give him your undivided attention. You must be patient in his presence. Many a times we say, well, I don't understand it. But how much of your time do you give God? Yet, look at the way you spend your time on a daily basis and find the ratio of how much you give God on a daily basis. And we say we are followers of Jesus. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. This is another interesting story. The Bible says, now it happened as he went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, what was that good part? She sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. How often do you sit at Jesus' feet to hear the word of God? Even when we come together like this, some of us will still complain. You know, that service is too long. And you only sit down to hear the word of God for approximately 30 minutes. And you're saying that is too long. The Lord will have mercy on you. The Lord will have mercy on me in Jesus' name. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. I must be honest with you. For me, I can stay there for hours because I always enjoy it. I don't get bored. That's one of the things I learned when I was growing up as a Christian. I don't mind. I can go to church 7 days in a week. On Monday, I can be there. Tuesday, I can be there because it strengthens, it encourages me. That's where I always want to be. So I'm never in a hurry. I pray that the Lord will give us the right attitude, even to be in the presence of God in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 8, verse 28 to 31. Acts chapter 8, 28 to 31. So let's see another story there. He said, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So we all know this is the story of the Ethiopian man. But one thing that is very important here, he needed somebody to be able to guide him. And that person that was available was Philip. God made that person available. We remember when Philip finished his assignment, the Bible says that he was taken away, just like that. So God always make available even a helper. In our own case, we have more than Philip, we have the Holy Spirit. Many a time, some of us, we say, oh, we don't understand what the word of God is saying. It's because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to help us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and it will bring unto our remembrance all things. The Bible tells us we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Some of us, even when we are learning the word of God, we want to hold on to our own worldly ideas. We are not open-minded to allow the Spirit of God even to teach us, to correct us. And we'll be making arguments from the worldly perspective, not from the biblical perspective. How do you expect the Spirit of God to teach you? If you want the Holy Spirit to teach you, you must surrender. Like this Ethiopian man, he never argued with Philip. Whatever spirit is Philip told him, that's what he was doing. And that is the kind of spirit God is looking for if we are going to learn. Because actually, I know some of us, we sit down, we read the Bible, but we do not open our hearts at all. We have some ideas at the back of our mind, but we are not opening our hearts for the Holy Spirit to teach us. If you want to learn, you have to forget your own ideas. Your idea does not really matter. If you don't understand, ask God to open your eyes to see it. And then Holy Spirit will teach you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I know our time is fast going. But the last point there, it talks about the people of Berea. That is found in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Say, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bible says they searched the scripture daily, daily. Is that the way we operate? We are looking at the people who know their God. How are you going to know your God when you do not search the scripture daily? Some of us, we know all the news that is happening around the world. Some of us will be here, you know, we gossip about so many things, not because you want to pray, not because you are interested in interceding for other people, but you just want to know everything that is happening. It has happened over there. You know everything that is trending. You know everything, but you do not know what the word of God says. You cannot sit down daily and search the scripture. Even if it is just 10 minutes, you cannot just be focused and say, this 10 minutes, this 30 minutes, this 1 hour, I'm going to spend it for God. I want to know him. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Knowing God entails having interpersonal relationship with him. You cannot know God when you without having interpersonal relationship with him. There must be meaningful communication. And you must go to, you must surrender yourself. You must forget about your own ideas. People of God, according to Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you will find God when you seek him and you search for him with all your heart. If you truly seek him, you will definitely find him when you search for him with all of your heart. I'm not just telling you because the Bible says so. I'm telling you because I have experienced it. When I search for God, I find him. There's no doubt about that. The only reason why we are not finding him and we think he's far away is because we are not searching for God. The Bible says, seek, you will find. Seek, you will find. As long as you are seeking, you are searching for God, you will find him. God is not going anywhere. He's there. But because you are not seeking him, you cannot find him. I pray you will seek him and you will find him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, the passage that we read, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it tells us, it says that those who know their God, but it's that people who know their God, they shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So what are the results of knowing your God? The answer is very clear. You will be strong. That's the first thing. You will be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. One of the ways to be strong in the Lord is to, you know this God, is to stay in his presence. Bible says that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. We're in a world that, you know, either you like it or not, all manners of situations are going to come your way. But if you know your God, you'll be strong when the situation comes your way. You will be strong. Daniel was strong and bold. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he was so bold that he told the chief of the eunuchs, he said, look, all this food you are placing before me, can you just take them away? I don't want it. He was not afraid. They could have said, this guy needs to be taught a lesson. They could have thrown him in prison. They could have even executed him, that this one is going to be a rebellious person. But he was so bold, and he made that request because he knew his God. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, he told the king, he said, king, why are you, you know, just give me some time. Why are you killing the wise people? Just give me some time. I'll talk to my God about this thing. He was so bold. He was so strong. And that's what happens when you know your God. When you have spent quality time with God, you will be bold. You will be strong. Even when situations that are unfavorable may come your way, you will be strong. Praise the Lord. John chapter 6, from verse 66 to 69. John chapter 6, from 66 to 69. He said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this is the result of people who knew their God. People who know their God. Other people who did not know their God, they had a very powerful word, a hard word. They had the truth of the word of God. The Bible says they turn back. Is that the way it is with you? In the church today, some people will say, oh, that preaching is too hard for me. It's too hard. I don't want to stay there anymore. They are talking about me. Look, I need to let you understand that God, you know, he has more important things to do than to say you are the one he wants to come and talk about. God address everybody. When the word of God comes, it comes to you so that you can make amendment to your own life. So it will be insulting to God and say, well, they are addressing me. It is the word of God. When by the special grace of God, when I prepare ministry, I don't have any human being in my mind. I just want God to speak through me. So you'll be wasting your time to say, well, somebody is talking about you. If the word is affecting you, it's simply because it's affecting you, because God loves you. God wants to reach out to you. The grace of God is appearing unto you. But for these people, look at their action. The Bible says they turned away. They said they don't want to follow Jesus anymore because he told them the truth. I pray that none of us will turn away because we are hearing the truth in Jesus' name. But the people who know their God, they said, we know you have the word of life. They have been with Jesus. They have studied Jesus. They said, no, you are the true living Son of God. You are Jesus Christ. We know you have the word of life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Job chapter 14, 7 to 9. Because of our time is fast spending and we still have a few things to do before we finish. Job chapter 14, from 7 to 9, it talks about there is a hole for a tree. So we're not going to read it, but you can read it at your own convenient time. But the summary of it is that, you know, when a tree is cut down, the Bible says, at the scent of water, it says it will brought again. It will bounce back to life. Job also, in chapter 19, verse 25, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. This came from understanding of somebody who know his God. The people who know their God. Job knew his God. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. So when you are faced with challenges, do you talk like this? I know that my Redeemer lives. And those are the things God wants to hear from us. When God hears that, God is impressed. And God, you know, will do something. I pray that the Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. And what does it mean that at the scent of water? John chapter 7, verse 38 tells us that make us understand Jesus is the source of the living water. He said, anyone that believes in me, he said, out of his belly shall be, you know, flow of rivers of water. So Jesus is the source of the living water. So as long as you stay connected with that Jesus, it doesn't matter what may be happening. You stay connected. The Bible says that there is a hope for a tree, even though it is cut down. But as long as you stay connected with that living water, you will bounce back again. I pray that we'll be strong. We'll stay connected with the Lord Jesus in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the second thing that, you know, which is the result of knowing God is you will carry out great exploit. Great exploit. The Bible says people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do great exploits. So let's read this one more passage before we begin to round up. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 and verse 37. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 and 37. Verse 33 says, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" Verse 37. "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" We are talking about people who know their God. David knows his God. He had a good understanding of his God. He did not depend on his own strength. He did not depend on his own ability. He trusted in God. When Goliath was threatening him that, "Yeah, I curse you in the name of my God," David answered him back. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whom you have defied today. He said, "This day, the Lord will cut your head." Look at this, that statement. It comes from understanding of somebody who knows his God. People who know their God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Time will not permit us to talk about Daniel and other three Hebrew children. They did great exploit in Babylon. Great exploit because they know their God. So in other words, the secret to carry out great exploit is always receive at God's presence. The secret to carry out great exploit is always receive at God's presence. People who know their God, they will spend quality time in the presence of God. And that is where you are going to get the secret to carry out great exploit. For Daniel, when a death sentence was hanging around his life, he went to God because he knew his God. And he got the secret there. And God revealed the secret to him in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. God revealed the secret unto him, and he blessed the name of God. Praise the Lord. God has not planted your feet in this land primarily to make dollars, but to do exploits for him through persistent intercessory prayers for the land, living a life of no compromise to win others to Christ, to preach the gospel within the available grace. So all of us, we know that we have grace. Our grace may be varied, but within the available grace, no matter how, you know, small it is, God still wants us to do it. And I pray that we will not fail God in Jesus' name. Let's rise up as we pray. Let's rise up as we pray. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. I'll quickly read it as we take a prayer point, two prayer points from there. The Bible says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." If we read that passage, we see God talks about lovers of this, lovers of that, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unloving, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we are going to pray. You pray for yourself, we pray for every member of Jesus Palace, that Father, stir up your love in our hearts for the things of the kingdom. We have looked at the people who know their God. Father, we come before you, O Lord, this morning. And Lord, we are asking, O Lord, that you stir up, O Lord, even our, you stir up your love in our hearts, even for the things of the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. I pray for myself. I pray for every member of my household. I pray for every man, every woman, every child, every individual represented in your church, O Lord. Please, Lord, stir up, O Lord, your love in our hearts, Lord, even for the things of kingdom, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we are in a perilous time. We know that the love of many are waxing cold. But Lord, our prayer and our, O Lord, our desire
desire unto you, O Lord, this hour is that, Lord, you will stir up, O Lord, your love for Lord in our hearts, even for the things of kingdom, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to pray, Father, establish every member of Jesus' palace as lovers of God and not lovers of pleasures. God does not want us to be lovers of pleasures. God does not want us to be lovers of money. It is true we can have money. It is true we can have pleasure, but we should not be lovers of all of those things. But we should be lovers of God. Begin to pray that the Lord will establish every member of Jesus' palace, even as lovers of God and not lovers of pleasures. In the name of Jesus, Almighty Father, Lord, your word says that even in the latter days, that men will be lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Lord, we plead with you that even as your people, every member of Jesus' palace, Lord, establish us even as lovers of God, not lovers of pleasures, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Psalm 42 verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. So we are going to pray, Father, as deer pants after water brook, let my soul pant for you in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself, pray for every member of your household, pray for every member of Jesus' palace. Almighty Father, Lord, the Bible says, deer pants for water brook, so pants my soul for you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, let my soul pant for you, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every day of my life, let my soul pant for you, in the name of Jesus. Let, oh Lord, so every member of my household pant for you, every day, oh God of their life, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every member of Jesus' palace, Lord, as they are pant after water brooks, let over our soul pant for you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Lastly, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So you're going to pray, Father, please reveal unto me and my household the secret to carry out great exploits for you in this land. In the name of Jesus, Almighty Father. Lord, we join, oh Lord, even our faith, oh God, together, even as a church this hour. And we're asking the name of Jesus that you reveal unto us, oh Lord, as individuals, as family represented in your church, oh Lord, even as a church, the secret of carry out great exploit for you, even in this land, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the secret was revealed to Daniel, even in night vision. Lord, we plead with you, oh Lord, that even as we, oh Lord, Lord, stay put in your presence, reveal, oh Lord, even unto us the secret to carry out great exploit for you, even in this land, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We appreciate you because you are faithful. Thank you because you are merciful. Thank you because the Bible says that people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploit. Lord, we thank you for your word, which you have brought unto us today. Lord, we pray, O Lord, that the seed of your word you have sown into our hearts this day, let it germinate and bring forth, O Lord, even fruit. Lord, that we, oh God, come out in hundredfold in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says your word will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish those things you have pleased, which shall prosper in the thing which you have sent it. Lord, let your words, oh God, we have heard today, let it prosper our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That even as we go into this week, as we continue in this month, as we, oh Lord, continue in this year and beyond, Almighty Father, let your Lord, your word continue to guide us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty Father, Lord, our prayer and our heart cry unto you is that let every one of us be relevant for you in this land, in this nation, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just as we have seen, oh Lord, in the life of people like Daniel,
in the life of people like David, that they were relevant for you, even their generation. The life of people like Joseph, Lord, they did great exploits for you. Father, I pray, oh Lord, let us, oh God, be those people who know you and do great exploits for you in this land, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We are grateful unto you. Lord, we commit the week unto you, Lord. The Bible says the name of our God is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. We run unto your name as individual, as family, as a church, oh Lord. Lord, we pray, continue to keep us safe in you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, oh God, that your, oh Lord, your awesome presence will abide with us throughout this week and beyond in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, every satanic agenda for any one of us throughout this week and beyond, we cancel it by the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. None of us will be victims, oh God, of any situation, of any circumstances in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, oh Lord, that your favor, Lord, will be available unto us in Jesus' name. The Bible says Jesus Christ had favor with God and with all men. Because we have started the week with you, oh Lord, even a time like this, Father, we pray, oh Lord, that your favor will go ahead of us, your favor will work for us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Lord, you will do great and mighty things, oh God, in our lives, that by the time we come back together, we'll come, oh God, Lord, with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We are grateful unto you because you are a faithful Father. Thank you for all our brethren who are absent for one reason or the other. Today we pray that, Lord, your blessing will reach out into them wherever they are in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful unto you, even for the privilege, O Lord, even to be called your people. We are grateful for the privilege to be called your children. We give you all the glory, our Father. We appreciate you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let us share the grace in fellowship.